Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, final hour of the program. Let's start it off in a first-class fashion, of course, with Greg Rosenthal, my buddy from NFL.com. Does an excellent job of covering the league. You can follow him on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal, and that's Greg with two G's. Let's bring him aboard. Greg, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. What's going on, Big O?
Ah, loving life, my man. We're all hoping that this Jay Cutler experiment goes well. So far, reports are he's looking good in Philadelphia the last 2 days here practicing. So I'm wondering, what would you think of that move by the Miami Dolphins after losing Tannehill?
I feel guilty about how much more excited I am about the Cutler Dolphins than I was about the Tannehill Dolphins. And I've been on with you, Big O, a few years ago, holding out hope for Tannehill. And,
yep.
And I think he could have been fine with Gase. But I honestly think they have a higher ceiling for this season with Jay Cutler at quarterback. I really do.
Yeah, a lot of people, man. You're not the only one. There's a lot of Dolphin fans, a lot of people that are looking at it, and they say that they got a higher ceiling. And I think Gase is the key, because when you go look at 2015, Matt Forte only played, like, I think 10 or 11 games. They had to use the Jeremy Langford kid. Marshall was gone. He was with the Jets at that time. Alshon Jeffrey only played 9 games. And then they had a whole bunch of nobodies at wide receiver. And Martellus Bennett also got injured that year. And yet he went 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Overall, he had his highest quarterback rating. I think it was 92 or something like that. So he played well in difficult situations, because they also didn't have a great offensive line. So you look at this Dolphin team, and this Dolphin team is loaded compared to that Chicago team. So a lot of people are looking at it going, well, if they can play that way with Gase and limited talent, well, maybe he can do a lot better here. So, you know, a lot of people feel the way you do.
Yeah, because he controlled and sort of put I don't want to say a leash, but
right.
He got the Jay Cutler that a lot of coaches were trying to get, where he just made better decisions, and he showed off that big arm sometimes, but he didn't take chances, and that's what that Bears team needed. And you know what? They relied on the running game. Even though it was Langford,
yep.
They ran the ball a lot in close situations. They didn't put too much on Cutler. It's very similar to what the Dolphins did last year with Tannehill, and I expect that. I mean, this is going to be a run-heavy team. The key is the offensive line. You're also talking to someone that, I always thought Jay Cutler had more to give than he did, that his better moments were better than people gave him credit for, that he's a pretty good quarterback, and I had pretty much given up hope. Obviously, he had retired, that I ever was going to be proven right. So this has given me one more chance to kind of watch a guy that, frankly, is a little more fun to watch on Monday Night Football than Ryan Tannehill will be. Jay Cutler's going to give you a little more.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, dude, and I'm with you also on the whole liking. I was a big fan of Cutler coming out of Vanderbilt. I wanted him for the Dolphins, and when Denver took him, it was one of those deals. I was with you on losing out hope on him, and then now we'll see if he can actually. And you know, that's the other thing that I've always thought about with Jay, that everybody, when he comes back here, he's coming back to a situation that he really feels good about, because he likes Gase, he trusts Gase, and you know how it is. You've covered this league for a long time. Once a player trusts that coach, then that he's going to sell out for that coach, and that coach is going to get the best out of that player. And that's why I think we're seeing this, you know, happen, because maybe he had a shot to go to a team like the Jets or something like that, but he didn't want to be in that kind of a situation. He wanted a better situation. The problem is nobody was offering it. Now it ends up coming to him, and maybe he's motivated to prove people wrong that, hey, I can be successful in this league as long as I'm in the right environment. And we'll see if this is it.
That's especially true for Cutler, who had a reputation fair or not, as a coach killer, I think there were some coaches he did not get along with that he did not really believe in. I think he started his career with such a strong offensive mind in Mike Shanahan, who truly believed in Cutler and knew how to manage him, that when he got some other coaches down the line, he probably would even admit he could have handled those situations better, and they weren't the right fits for him, whether it was McDaniels briefly or Mike Martz or Trask, you know, different guys along the way. He didn't react well to those, but I think Gase is the other guy other than Mike Shanahan that really stood out to him in his career and why he was so excited to come back. And I don't think it hurts that he had an off-season off from football. A guy at his age, maybe he recharged the batteries a little bit. You see this in other sports sometimes. Getting away a little bit, I think, is probably a productive thing, making him remember how much he loved the game and not having a crazy long off-season. He's not a guy that I think needed it. Heck, he was playing preseason football after 9 days of practice.
Yeah, listen, I'm not comparing the quarterbacks. Now, he did have an off season, but they gave him the first 4 weeks off of the season, and that didn't hurt Brady whatsoever, right? So what the hell? I mean, and right now he's looked actually really well. And here's the thing that never happens, Greg, and this is where I've told Dolphin fans we're blessed. Not only do you get a guy that's already a proven starter in this league, you get a guy that already knows your freaking system, because not only was he under Gase, last year they kept Gase's system in Chicago. I had Jim Miller on. He told me they ran the same system that Gase had with him in 2015, because the guy they kept there was kind of a disciple of his and kept that offense. So Cutler ran the offense for 2 years, and guess what? This is going to be his third straight year in the offense. So last week they went to no huddle. How the hell do you do that with a guy that's been in camp for a week? You don't. You only do that with a guy that actually knows the system.
Yeah, I mean, that is the great thing for Dolphins fan, where in most cases it would feel like the season's over. Now you have some hope. Now, with all this said, we're talking so much positive things about Jay Cutler. And, you know, I didn't see this as necessarily a playoff team for sure from the outside looking in before Jay Cutler. And I don't necessarily think they're that much better. I'm more excited about them. I don't know if he really changes their overall team outlook, which to me is a borderline type of playoff team, and that it's really more about the offensive line and the defense improving greatly, because those two areas were dreadful last year, and that's really where they need to get better, and time will tell if they do.
10-6, baby. I got them in the playoffs. 10-6.
All right.
10-6. I like it. I like what I'm seeing. Gase won me over last year. That's the thing. They lost all those guys last year, including their quarterback at the end of the year, and they still ended up winning enough games to get into the playoffs. I thought Adam Gase did just an absolutely phenomenal job, and that's why I'm not that concerned about it this year. And they've lost a couple of guys, but he has shown me that he knows how to coach. Because I got a guy that sent me a text a little while ago. It says, well, you know, players are getting injured all over the place. Maybe we need to, you know, eliminate these practice games like what Miami's doing with Philadelphia. Dude, we can't get to a point where we're eliminating minicamps, practice games, preseason. How the hell are these guys going to get prepared for the regular season? Injuries are part of the game, unfortunately. And those teams that have the better coaches and the better front offices are the ones that are going to be able to fight through those injuries.
Well, you know what two teams practice in pads more than any other? The Seahawks and the Steelers. Those are good teams. You know what team practiced against other teams in terms of scrimmages and, you know, double practices?
Patriots.
Even more than any. The Patriots. Three straight weeks they're doing it. So that's what the good teams are doing. I think Gase, you know, is smart to do that. You know, my only concern with them this year is they won so many close games last year. It's not going to be as easy. The thing that you have to like if you're a Dolphins fan right now is looking at four games against the Bills and the Jets. Yeah, sure, you got to play two against the Patriots, but the Bills and the Jets could be two of the worst teams in the AFC, both in the AFC East. If you can go 4-0 or 3-1 in those games, that's a nice start to your season.
Were you scratching your head that Odell Beckham was actually playing in the second quarter And that's when the injury happened, right at the beginning of that second quarter. And the fact that it's game two of the preseason, why the hell do you have your number one receiver out there where most teams have your starters for one or two series in that second game? They don't really have them playing into the second quarter. Were you questioning that yesterday?
Well, no, I wasn't. I don't question them playing in the preseason however much the coach thinks is necessary, because it's different for every team, what the team needs, who needs the reps. These coaches know their teams, and we get these, like, rules, like, okay, the second preseason you got to play two series, and the third game you got to play the halftime. I watch the Patriots every year. They don't have a formula. Some years Brady plays a lot. For whatever reason, they think he needs it, or the offensive line. Some years, he barely plays at all. It all depends on what the coach, you know, Belichick needs. Not every coach is Belichick, but in that game last night, I believe they went either 3-and-out or 6-and-out on each of their first two drives. So they were just trying to get some sort of rhythm. And I just think that's football. It's like you said, you kind of have to get ready to play for the season. He's not out there playing 60 snaps or anything. He was probably playing 15 to 18 snaps. It was bad luck. It seems like it was good luck in the end, because that was a nasty shot on his knee, and it sounds like it's not going to be anything too serious.
Yeah, he wouldn't say if it was a high ankle sprain or a regular ankle sprain, so we really don't know. So we're going to find out. Now, he was able to walk. He was able to walk around on his own after when he came out of the locker room. So hopefully, it's not a bad thing. I'm sure there are a lot of fantasy players that already had their drafts and they were a little nervous about that one. That's for sure. What'd you think about Jerry Jones declining to say whether he supports Roger Goodell's contract extension? Jerry's a little pissed at the commish for the Ezekiel Elliott move, I guess.
It's really interesting that Goodell's two biggest moments, I would say, of the last, 2 years, got Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones really angry at him. So those, if you had to do a power rankings of who are the most powerful owners in the league, Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft might be one and two. So it's interesting that the guy who essentially is working for these 32 owners, Goodell, has not been afraid to upset those two owners. And I'm not surprised Jerry Jones is upset about it. I think they were blindsided. I think if you really look at everything that happened in the history of the suspensions with domestic violence, he shouldn't be so surprised. We shouldn't have been either as a media. Not many people had really dove too deep into the case and all the material that's out there. And once I did, it didn't shock me too much based on the precedent that the NFL's established that they believe that if you lay your hand on a woman, if they believe more likely than not you did it, you're going to get 6 games. This isn't a court of law. It's not, beyond a reasonable doubt. It's more like a civil case where if it's more than 50-50 and they believe you did it, you're going to get suspended.
Follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Greg Rosenthal. That is with 2 G's, of course. And you can catch his terrific work at the website at NFL.com. Hey, what do you got going on the podcast this week?
Well, a little fantasy talk. We're getting into the fantasy.
Nice.
So we really don't touch fantasy all year, but we do a little preseason fantasy spectacular. But yeah, we're hitting season 5 on that podcast. So we love all the listeners that have joined on.
Yeah. So check it out, the podcast. Check them out there at NFL.com. So you said borderline. So what number do you have on our Dolphins?
I mean, I haven't written them all down yet. I'm thinking more 9 and 7. I know you guys won't be too excited, because I like the Chargers and the Bengals too much as possible wild card teams, and I feel like I got to get two teams in from the West. Maybe with that last playoff spot, I'm still kind of debating whether it could be the Dolphins, whether it'd be the Ravens, I don't think it's going to be them, or whether it's a second, whether it's the Chargers as the second team getting in there. But I'm thinking the Dolphins are on the outside looking in terms of my predictions.
Do Andrew Luck and Cam Newton come back to form after both shoulder injuries and surgeries?
I wouldn't expect it. We've seen these are serious surgeries. Luck, I don't know. I was at Colts practice last week. I've never seen an NFL team struggle to complete a pass more than I did in 2 days at that practice. I don't know if they're going to win a game. I'm serious. I don't know if they're going to win a game until Andrew Luck is back. And people talking about, oh, maybe he's back for week one. He hasn't thrown a pass to his teammate yet. He's not practicing this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he misses a big chunk of the season.
Wow, it's scary stuff, man, how they have mistreated that guy from day one. They have never taken care of Andrew Luck, and they could pay the ultimate price, dude. They could end up ruining one of the best quarterback talents in the last 20 years. I mean, that's how crazy it is what's going on in Indy.
At least I think they have a GM and a staff and an ownership right now, which maybe is almost thinking about this season is – you know, a transition season. So if nothing else, I think with this recovery, I think they're going to play it safe. I think they are playing it safe, and that's smart. They might have 8 or 9 new defensive starters. I think Chuck Pagano is getting very antsy because I think the front office there has different priorities in terms of they're thinking long-term, and he's thinking about his job, and he might not be able to keep it because that team's not going to win many games.
Dude, speaking of not winning many games, the Jets are going 0-16, right? I mean, I don't know how they win. I don't know how they – maybe they get a game, but, man, 0-16 is realistic for that team.
They have some talent in the front seven on defense, and, look, their first game of the season's against Buffalo. Those are two bad teams. They could ugly up a win there. So I wouldn't be surprised if they – I think it's hard to lose 16 games. I would think they're about 3-13. They'll find a way. They got some defensive pieces.
Wow, you are being super generous with the Jets. 3 wins? I don't see that.
It is hard to lose 15 games. Just trust me on that. Like the Browns were in 5 or 6, 7 of those games. They had some bad luck. I know the offense is so bad in New York, but they'll get like 2 or 3 wins.
Yeah, no, Cleveland actually I thought had a really good offseason. Now they got to figure out their quarterback spot, but I thought for the first time when I looked at that Cleveland franchise, I was like, hey, man, these guys actually did like a competent offseason, and it wasn't a clown show, and maybe if they can continue to do this for the next couple of years, maybe they can turn that place around, because I thought the Browns actually were pretty solid this offseason.
I do too. I think, and they've set the bar so low that 4 or 5 wins this year will be looked in as a step forward. Yeah. And then the next season, I think, is where you really want to see progress. And I think they'll get it.
Yeah, we'll see. Follow him on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. And of course, catch the podcast. What's the podcast called? I'm sorry?
Yeah, Around the NFL.
Around the NFL. That's it. Mm hmm.
Yep, that's it, baby.
Sign up, subscribe to that podcast. He does excellent work. Greg, as always, man, you're a stud. I appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Big O. I'll talk to you later.
You got it. There you go, man. Greg Rosenthal, man.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.